So remember a couple of weeks ago when I told y'all about Purpose at Steppenwolf? Yeah, that's the play everybody's been talking about, not just me. The one showcasing the drama of a fictional Black Chicago family full of esteemed civil rights leaders, pastors, and congresspeople. Yeah, now we're on the same page. Well, people have been raving about it so much that the run has been extended again through mid-May. The Sun-Times, the Daily Herald, and the Trib have all given Purpose 4 stars, with the Trib calling it the birth of a truly great new Chicago play. So, don't wait to go see it. The show must close May 12th, and tickets start at $20 at steppenwolf.org. That's steppenwolf.org. Today on CityCast Chicago, Season 3 of the Comedy Southside premieres this Thursday. If you ask me, it's been one of the funniest and low-key accurate depictions of Chicago I've seen on TV. From inside jokes about Chicago foods and stepping to Shade and Whitney Young graduates, we're talking to Southside creators Sultan and Bashir Salahuddin and Diallo Riddle. It's Monday, December 5th. I'm Jacoby Cochran, and this is CityCast Chicago. Southside follows a hilarious cast. In addition to creating the show, Sultan plays Simon, a worker at a rent-to-own shop who always got a side hustle. Bashir plays Officer Goodnight, and Diallo plays new and fictional Alderman Alan Gale. Quick little warning, the language is definitely rated R. Welcome to CityCast Chicago, fellas.
Hey, let's get it.
Let's go Southside.
I'm doing a very good job of like keeping it together, because fellas, I've been a fan of this show from the moment it dropped. Diallo, for anyone who has not watched Southside, what is the show about?
The show is about the South Side of Chicago. It's about, you know, these two friends who, you know, represent the working class, you know, community that is there that often gets demonized in the press and in the media. Bashir and I always say that we feel like the stories that we tell on the show, you know, technically a lot of them, as specific as they are, they could take place in, you know, working class Black communities, you know, all over the country. You know, I always say that I'm the one person on the show, the only person other than Michael Blyden, who did not grow up in Chicago. Bashir, Chandra, the twins, Sultan, everybody else grew up there. Mm-hmm. And it's so important that we get this story right, because you know, people love Chicago, and it's just, it hasn't always gotten, you know, the treatment it deserves in TV and film.
Yeah, I feel like it doesn't always get like a very complex, critical, but even a funny turn on the things that we're going through. Bashir, you're from the South Side. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you set out to tell a story that people from our city feel represented in, right, they connect to? But I mean, let's be real, that they find funny.
You know, I do have to give my brother his props. I mean, you know, we were trying to find a show to do, and he actually called me and said, yo, man, because one of the twins, Quincy, actually worked at Rent-A-Center for like a decade.
That's Quincy Young, who plays the RTO manager in the show.
Sultan, you know, he said, hey, man, Quincy's at Rent-A-Center, and he just does wild, funny stuff all day. He knew that Diallo and I were looking to do a show because we had really wanted something that represented our community. And, you know, more importantly, it was just like, how do we make a very hard comedy? Because at the time, like, everything was like, you know, it was like all the comedies were kind of funny, but then they also had a lot of serious moments. And we knew we wanted to do something that was like,
yeah, everybody was doing the dramedy the last few years.
Doing the dramedy. Yeah. And we were like, you know what? We don't want to do a dramedy. We want to do a hard comedy. It's the kind of stuff we grew up with. We want to show the lighter side. You know, ultimately what it comes down to is, you know, when I'm home in Chicago, when I'm with family and friends, when I'm there, when I'm with people I grew up with, you know, it's very joyful. It's a lot of fun. And we have a really good time. And for me, it was very important that the show represented that it represented the sort of easygoing, very familiar. You know, Chicago is a place where, like, you go to somebody's house for Thanksgiving and don't know anybody, and then by the time you leave, you got a new family. And I feel like that's the side of the city that ultimately this show is steeped in. It's steeped in that. And ultimately, and what the thing that, as Diallo mentioned, is the thing that's been so fulfilling is that lots and lots of people from all walks of life and all income levels, but specifically, you know, a lot of Black folk from, you know, Philly, from Oakland, from Detroit, from wherever, also see themselves in the show and see themselves and see that sameness of their communities mm-hmm. in our show. And for me, that let us know that, hey, we're on the right track.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I love that universality, but I also, every time I'm talking to my friends, every time I'm talking to my producers, all we are thinking about is how we feel on the inside of a conversation. Yes. All the jokes are for us. The comedy is for us, but we are letting other people come to our table. So, Ton, we follow a bunch of wild, funny folks on this show, but your character, Simon James, is very much our leading man. Can you tell mm-hmm. us a little bit about Simon and, I mean, his hustle at RTO and beyond?
Simon is a character. He is at the tip of the spear, man. His whole focus is, we've often said this a lot, if Simon were born in different circumstances, he'd be a billionaire. But unfortunately, because of those circumstances that he's born into and decisions he's made in life, he works at RTO, just like a lot of other blue-collar workers. But the one thing that I don't know if a lot of people get this is he does not have any quit in his drive.
Muffin Mechanics is a small business, okay? So you gotta think like a small business, you got me? Carla's homemade glue sticks. I see you can't stick to a budget. Dean's fake traffic cones. Man, you're gonna need an attorney. And let me say, I am not an attorney. I cannot give you legal advice. But you know what? You can take it to Indiana. They don't give a fuck over there. You can do anything you want.
Hey, nice suit, John Wick. Where your dog at? It's dead, I'm joking. Get out of here.
It's my only suit, it's for funerals.
He continues to try to go against the odds. He continues to try to rise above and make a better life for himself and his kids and everybody. And I think that exemplifies what a lot of brothers on the South Side of Chicago and just in general around the nation are trying to do. Because you don't hear about the guys who work 2 and 3 jobs and they have more than one child that they're taking care of and they're doing it. You know, the reason you don't hear about them is because they're busy doing the work. And I think Simon represents that individual and that drive and hunger for more.
Mm-hmm. You know, Diallo, y'all have done Ferris Bueller homages. You've touched on Spades, Steppin' Tournaments. Mm-hmm. Y'all done had Chance and Lisa B come through, make hilarious cameos. How do you accurately or attempt to accurately portray the ins and outs of the South Side without, you know, being corny, without making people from outside the community feel like they can't, you know, still participate in the conversation?
I think a lot of it just comes from the fact that let me give some props to Bashir and Sultan. They really don't want to do a corny show. Like that is not on the to-do list. I think also
nah, because we'll tell you if it's wagged you. We not just going.
Well,
like,
it's not even just like that though. It's like you know, I always come back to the writers' room. You know, when we first started out trying to staff the show with writers. They sent us a lot of writers who were very good. Some writers had like the hot hand at that moment. Everybody was trying to get them, you know, put on their show. But, you know, it was very important. I remember Bashir saying, like, I really want people who are going to help us, you know, define this as uniquely Chicago. There are enough voices in the room and enough Southside voices in the room where it's like, yo, instead of saying it takes place at this restaurant, we should say it takes place at this restaurant. You know what I'm saying? Like, so on top of just being funny, it's also like, let's use the most authentic, most Chicago reference or location that we can possibly use in each scenario.
References run Absolutely. Deep.
Yeah, we got Chicago people. We got Will Miles who went to Whitney Young. I mean, we got Langston Kerman, who's from Harvey, Alicia Cowan from the South Side, my wife Chandra, who plays Officer Turner, she's from the South Side.
Yep.
Even this season, we added another a writer in Lauren Walker, who's from Chicago, yeah. but also has a really strong pedigree with the UCB folks. So it really was saying, like, to a bunch of Chicago people, like, what's funny to us? Because I think Chicago has a great sense of humor.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, y'all work with some amazing Black women on this show, but it's deeper than that because many are family, whether it's a hilarious cameo from y'all's mom yep. in both the very first episode of Bashir and Sultan, to Zuri, your sister who plays yeah. Stacy, who's still in every scene she's in, to arguably the funniest person on the whole damn show, Chandra Russell as Zenobia Turner, who, I'm going to be real, I find her so damn funny, but she both 12 and a landlord. Yeah. I don't know how y'all got all of that in one person, and she's still hilarious. How special is this experience?
You know what's interesting about you saying that, and I think it's one of the good things about our show. our show doesn't really have good guys, and we also don't really have bad guys. You know, we have tough circumstances. Because I was even thinking about Simon, like when he
y'all goes, got hustlers, clowns.
We got clowns,
some
we got
goofies,
comedians. We got sticklers for rules. You got people like my character, who's he's just like, we call him, we, in a writer room, we teasingly call him Job from the Bible, because our goal with him is to put him through every terrible thing a person can go through. And one of my favorite compliments is whenever I'm in Chicago every now and then, somebody's like, "Man, I can't believe you got me laughing at the police. This is terrible." And I'm like, "Yeah,
bro,
I'm supposed to find no cop funny." I'm like, "Dude, I'm just trying to be funny, man. I'm just
the cognitive dissonance, man, that y'all put me through every single episode."
Yeah, exactly. But he's not like, we don't play him as like some beleaguered hero who's just trying to do the best thing. He's messed up too. He's trying to, he hates this outside. He can't stand the people down there. And he's really trying to get back to the north side. So everybody got the things that they bring with them. And as our anchor, Simon, as you put it, I think if Simon had an opportunity tomorrow, they're like, "Hey, man, you're going to be the head of this new company." He'd be like, "All right, bye, peace." Like, he wouldn't be trying to stick around down there.
Man, you was talking about playing cards. That scene with Officer Turner, with Renee Lockett, who plays Dorothy Brown, with LaRoyce Hawkins, who plays Michael Owens, that's one of the funniest scenes.
"Yo, stupid ass, sitting over here fucking kikin with these dumbass bitches. The next time you are cold and lonely at night, you call these two crip pussies, you fuck boy. Fuck all of y'all, stupid bitches, and you a bitch too, nigga, a bitch."
That was very rude.
You know, it's funny on the surface, but if you're from Chicago, it hits even harder.
Nah, I fell over watching that, man. So, Ty, you know, we real protective of our city. Y'all know this, right? Mm-hmm. So many folks absolutely love to drag our name, and so we could be sensitive about how we're shown. Do you all hear or respond to criticism from people who say, "This doesn't look or it doesn't feel like my neighborhood"?
Mostly, the feedback that I've gotten, 98% of the time, is, "I love it. You guys are doing a good job representing us." I've even heard the words, "This is a positive spin on Chicago. We really appreciate how you guys..."
Hey, what was the 2%? What was the 2%?
Well, that's what I mean. That's people who were like, "Oh man,
that's the lactose intolerant."
You know, those fall on deaf ears. I mean, everybody has an opinion, and I respect everyone's opinion. But when it's like, when I go outside and 8 out of 10 people tell me they love the show and this is who their favorite character is. And you know what? The one thing that I notice when I talk to people about the show is they smile with their eyes and they smile with their mouth before they even say a word. And then they let me know how much they like the show, how proud of us they are, and how much they enjoy it. So that's been the majority of my experience through all 3 seasons.
She shined it.
It even goes really quickly so far as like, we'll be just like, you know, somebody who shows up to play a bus driver because we just need a bus driver for this scene. And he made us laugh. And then it's like, "Yo, man, we got to put that guy on camera." Like this season, last thing I'll say, there's a guy who literally, I was at home and I wanted a snow cone. And I was at my mom's house. I was in Chatham. You know, originally to Ty and I were from South Shore. And when I was about 10, 11, we moved to Chatham.
We moved to Auburn and Gresham.
Auburn and Gresham. It has 5 names. Pick one. It's Halsted and whatever you want to call it, that area. And I said, "I want to snuck him." My mom was like, she's like, "There's a guy on 80th and 81st and Vince Sands. He's really good." I went over there. He made me laugh. I didn't say shit to him. I got my snow cones. 3 days later, I had somebody go up to him. And right now, he's in the trailer for season 3. So
he's in the trailer.
Snow cone man is here. What can I get for you, baby?
Okay. I'm going to be different. Let me get an apricot.
Apricot? Come on. I'm telling you. Nobody in the hell drink this apricot. This is terrible right here.
Okay.
I don't even know how you seen that. I had it in the back.
Right, okay.
Hey, talking about, I don't even know how you saw that. It's in the back. Nobody asked for apricot.
That is a bad dude in Chicago.
That dude is literally 81st and Vincent selling snow cones and just had me dying. Yeah. Because I tried to, and what's funny is I actually tried to order a snow cone from him and he was like, "Don't get that flavor. Don't nobody get that. Come on, man. You about to have a bunch of disappointed people at your house."
I love that.
He didn't know who I was.
Love that.
But see that, but that's Chicago, and that's the side of Chicago you never see. You don't see the funny bus drivers, the guy who drives a shuttle to the airport, the dude who's, you know, doing the garbage rounds, the assistant principals, the high school teachers, the dudes who work at Rent-A-Center. Like, there's so many people who are just like funny, and you never see them. Because I was going to say, really, the one criticism I have heard, which I'm proud not to do, is I've heard a couple people say to me, like, "You know, you got to show the grittier side." I'm like, "Oh, y'all want us to show people getting murdered and shit." And I'm like, "You know what? There's so many other places for you to see that. Yep. We're going to keep it positive."
Yep.
Diallo, as an adopted son, how has this, you know, experience helped you to come to understand and maybe fall in love with Chicago the way, you know, I do?
Yeah, you know, two things I want to say about that. One is that when we were working on a show called Brothers in Atlanta, which is a story for another day, the thing I remember about that show that I really enjoy, because I'm from Atlanta, you know, it was great to come back home and work on something, but it was also great to have Bashir there because he sort of came in with an outsider's perspective and he was able to ask me questions like, yeah, hey, what's that about? And why is that a thing? And that, and I would see things that I didn't even notice about my hometown that I was like, oh, we got to put a spotlight on that. Because there were obviously things I wanted to put a spotlight on, but just having an outside observer there, it allowed me to notice things that I might have missed. And I feel like I've sort of served that role as the as an adopted. So I've spent the last five summers, maybe even six summers, in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I love Chicago, and I love that we get to do a show that means so much to the city. But I want to say one thing very specifically, which is that if you like this show, if you like Southside, and I do feel like to a certain extent, the city of Chicago has found us and embraced us, but I would ask you to call your cousins all across the country. Like, call your people everywhere and tell them, look, even if you're not from Chicago, there's a very special show that is crafted, you know, almost entirely by Black people, and that we should support this show just because this is not an opportunity that comes along often.
Yeah.
I want to do a quick round of rapid fire. I know I got to let y'all go soon. I'm going to start with you, Bashir. The season three literally opens up with Officer Clown Goodnight. What can we expect from season three from your character and beyond?
You know, I love playing the character because I love to sort of put the character through hell because that shit is funny to me. And I enjoy playing that. And I love that I get to do that. And I don't have any kind of feeling about it. You know, sometimes when you hire other actors, they'd be like, well, you know, can my character do something positive this season? You know, maybe I say something like, no, we ain't doing that. So you like what you've seen from Goodnight. It's more of the same. And especially this season starts with him getting his cop car stolen from by a 13-year-old girl. So that's how the season starts.
I'm in the eighth
and that's his, high point in the season.
That's the high point of the season. It's all downhill from there.
Diallo, you are, you know, the older person. Yeah. Like, what can we expect from Alan moving forward?
Well, you know, we always say this is not an episodic show. You don't have to follow it from it. but if you track Alan Gale's, you know, life, season one, he was a lawyer who clearly thought he was, you know, needed to do bigger things in life. And in season two, he fought, you know, tooth and nail to become an alderman. And we saw him dealing with that. I feel like in season three, he's already bored with the job that he has. So he's already.
And he might be in
hey,
the
listen. I don't want to give any spoilers. I actually want to give you some fake spoilers and just have people figure out that they're not true.
So, Todd, what has season three got in store for Kareem and, of course, for Simon?
Oh, man. More adventures. Going in different directions that you haven't seen these characters go in before, but specifically Simon is here's a little spoiler. He's trying to escape and hide himself from the public for something that he did. So that's something to look forward to. And it goes beyond viral. It goes into the news. It goes into the internet. It goes on a blimp, if you will, but he messes up in a big way and doesn't know how to cope with that. So that's something for you guys to really sink your teeth into.
Can I go even further?
Yeah, please.
Of course.
I'm going to go further, Sue. y'all remember the Malice in the Palace? The Malice in the Palace when the Detroit
and the Pacers went
when the Pacers decided to go fight every fan they could fight. So Simon has something like that happen, but he has it happen at the United Center. So that's all I'll say. And yeah, it goes from there.
Man, everything looks bigger and better. I didn't see pictures from Lala. So many people are promoting it. Mm-hmm. For me, this show has felt like a love letter, a comedic and sometimes wild love letter, but to the South Side of Chicago. I'm very grateful for y'all coming on the show, for talking a little bit, and good luck with season three and beyond, fellas.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Appreciate the time.
Appreciate it, everyone. Thank you.
You can see an advanced screening of the premiere season three of Southside tomorrow at DuSable Museum. Plus, Bashir and Diallo will be talking to WBEZ, Sasha Ann Simon, and it's free, so show up. Info in the show notes. Season three of Southside premieres on HBO Max Thursday. Go on, share with your friends and family. Before I let you go, a little bit of news, y'all. Gun control will likely be on the agenda in Springfield starting in January. State House Democrats introduced legislation to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, restrict most people under 21 from getting a gun permit, and beefing up Illinois' firearm restraining order law. Former First Lady Michelle Obama is speaking about her new book at the Chicago Theater tonight and tomorrow. Tonight's conversation will be hosted by David Letterman, while author Heather McGee is in the host chair tomorrow. For more stories, including a look at the Chicago Public Library's Korean American Archive Project, head over to our daily newsletter, Hey Chicago, at chicago.citycast.fm. It should already be in your inbox, but if not, you know, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt today. But tomorrow, 6 a.m., you better be getting that young Hey Chicago. And some good news to get you through. This Thursday, the homies over at 77 Flavors of Chicago, the podcast that visits all 77 community areas to learn about their history and try out some food in the neighborhoods, is hosting a live taping in North Lawndale. The co-hosts and cute couple Sarah and Dario are celebrating hitting all 77 areas. Congratulations, my friends, and I'm going to see y'all there. As always, I appreciate you for listening. I'm going to talk to you tomorrow. Peace.
B.
Bashir?
Did we lose Bashir?
I can see his face.
Bashir, are you muted?
He's coming muted. Back to us.
Yeah, we can now.
Now we can.
I just had a total interruption. Okay, I'm sorry. Well, rapid fire, please. Let's go.
Let's get the question again. Let's get the question again.
Who said that? What can we expect? Until you said it broke, I was like, this is terrible. Okay, all right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Things going wrong, that's exactly what you can expect for Good Night in season 3. Things going wrong.